Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we continue our study on the book of Colossians. But before that, hope you enjoy the exercise. Even though a little bit vigorous, but at least it's what we need, right? Because we stay here for almost 2 weeks. And we thank God for giving us the energy, upholding until us until now. And for the homework, which will be due tomorrow, just try your best. I know that chart, there are a lot of keywords. There's some items, some words you may not be able to find it in the book. But just try your best. As soon as you hand it in, you got the marks. So just try. And I hope by now you have been familiarizing yourself with the book of Colossians already. So let's all continue to study the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 1. Here, from chapter 2, verse 1, somebody read for me, please. Okay. Can you read for me? Chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, here Paul tells us, what kind of conflict that I have for you, what kind of conflict that I have for you and the member of Laodicea. So if we continue to talk about chapter 2, we have to understand one thing. As we always come back to the theme of the whole book of Colossians, is Paul trying to help the member 2,000 years ago in the Colossians, really try to understand God, understand Jesus Christ better, understand the supremacy of Christ Jesus better, so that they can refute, they can oppose, they can fight all the heresy, all the wrong teaching. Let's turn to a Bible verse first. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. The book of Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Okay, from now we keep on reading for me and the brother, so that one by one. Okay, you finish and then next one. Sorry, I skipped. Chapter 22, verse 1. Read loud, huh? Defense. Circle this word here, defense. This is Paul's statement. It's Paul's defense. If you look at the book of Acts, approaching the end, Paul, having about three times, he wanted to defend about the gospel. In a proper term, it's called apology. It's not to say sorry, right? Of course, nowadays we use this word apology. It means say sorry. But specifically, in a theological term, apology or apologetic, the adjective, which means to defend your faith. Approaching the end of Paul's ministry, he was busy not spreading the gospel because he was bound, he was chained. He was put into the prison. He was put on trial, but he was still busy. But at that time, he's not actively going out to evangelizing in new area, but rather he's defending his faith through various occasions, among politicians, among leaders, among Jewish religious leaders, and of course, people from outside. Because at the end, Paul and his gospel has been vigorously attacked by different systems, by philosophers, by thinkers, by politicians, Judaism. Everybody is saying that, Paul, you are preaching heresy, you are preaching heresy. You are not according to the Bible. So at the end, Paul has to defend the truth. If you compare the beginning, wow, when the apostolic church was just established, it was developing very fast. One day, 3,000 people baptized. Another day, 2,000 people baptized. But at the end, seems that nobody getting baptized, or very few. And Paul is locked up and defending the truth in a small house, confined to the small house. This is the end of the Acts of Apostle. Now, if you look at our true church, we could be in a similar road. Why? Because at the very beginning, since 1917, the true church was so powerful in China, established in Beijing. Through several years, the true gospel has been preached throughout the land of mainland China. Another decade, go to Southeast Asia. Another decade, go to other countries. So each decade, while the church spread to more and more places. But look at now. Even we are close to 100 years of the true church. But now we are spreading in a very relatively low pace. And even in many places, we are under attack. Just like, I don't know, in America here, sometimes when in Vancouver, in Canada, our church tried to rent another chapel to hold evangelism or meet as a prayer house. The church said, okay, sure, I will rent to you. But this, just as a formality, give us your doctrine so that we can just have a look. And after they see our 10 basic beliefs, they will say, sorry, we won't rent to you. The reason is very obvious. Because they think we are heresy. They think we don't believe in Trinity, we are so rare. We don't observe Sunday, we are so strange. Of course, any other pastor will tell their members, don't go to TJC, because they are heretical. So, even now, currently, we are under attack. If you go online in the chatting room, when people talk about our church, many, many people talk bad about us. They think we are heresy. So, just like similarly speaking, Paul, at the end of his ministry, he's busy defending the truth. And now, even though we try to evangelize slowly, but most of the time, we should be able to defend. To tell people what we believe, why we believe is correct through the Bible. So that's why it's so important to study the book of Colossians. And if you understand the book of Colossians, you understand how to do apology, how to defend the word. Now there's a very important key verse here. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2. Continue, please, brother. Next one. Continue. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Wrong chapter. But, yeah. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, underline this verse, brother. We talked about it at the end of approaching the end of last night's lesson. If we truly understand the mystery of God, then we'll be able to do apology. We can defend the truth. So now, we're talking about the mystery. The mystery of God. The fullness and richest glory of God is in Christ. So underline this verse. So what is the mystery of God? Is Christ Jesus. So, we are going to talk about this. Christ Jesus. That's why when underlining the key word, it's easier for us to remember. Okay, first, we should understand God is a mystery. Of course, in this world, there are always mystery, right? Historical mystery, scientific mystery. But those are not truly mystery. What does mystery mean? Mystery means something that is so difficult to understand. And maybe there's even no answer. It's not open to any people. It's so difficult. But under the universe, there's only one ultimate and one most difficult mystery. What is that? It's God. God is the ultimate mystery. Because first, God is spirit. Anything you see, you hear, you touch, you use, you feel in this world, you can study it. Because it's in our material dimension. It's within our understanding, and we can use our logical thinking, our brain is equipped, is made to understand the things that is physical. But God is on the totally different realm. It's totally above our understanding. First, you cannot see God. Secondly, you cannot touch Him physically. You don't know where He is. You cannot talk to Him direct. So, how can you understand? And by definition, God is so high, so He's so omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. So, it's so beyond our understanding. Even your brain becomes 10 times more powerful than you now. You can study, you can understand God by yourself. unless God reveal, God make known himself to us, human being. Sometimes you think about an animal, right? Whether it's a bug lying on the ground or a mosquito. Can a mosquito know what you're thinking? Can an ant know what you're typing now? It's so difficult. Even a cat, a dog, every day. How many of you have pets at home? Pets, dog, cats, rabbits, hamster, right? Wow, when you go home, wow, you hug your dog, your cat. When you go home, you're like, whoa, 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 yeah. The tail moving, welcome you. But when you have trouble in your heart, can you tell him? Tell it, not him, right? No, you talk things. You cannot talk Bible to him. You're going to talk about your heart, your troubles to him. Oh, cannot understand you. Because the level is so different. Now for us, it's the same. Our God is so high. There's no way you understand God, the ultimate mystery in the universe, unless God revealed to you. And how did God reveal this ultimate mystery? It's through Jesus Christ. Walk in the history. He became a flesh as a human being 2,000 years ago. Walk into the history of humankind. Live with people. Eat with people. Teach with people. And then people know, wow. When people look at Christ, people know God. So this is very important. And in this verse, we learn about this. In Christ is all fullness. We keep emphasizing and emphasizing this point during our class. He has everything. He's so rich in wisdom, in knowledge, and he's surprising the world. Now, when something about human being is, for example, if you and me are good friends, we know each other for 10 years, let's say. Basically, you know pretty much about me. You know my family, background, all everything, all I like, all I dislike. Okay, let's give it 20 years, rather. If you know me for 20 years, then you quite know me. You know my character inside out. But when you know a person, when you're up to a certain point, you stop discovering new things. Because that's the way he is, right? It won't keep changing. It won't keep going deeper. It's just like that. Because human being is limited. But our God is different. Jesus Christ is different. He's unlimited. So that's why Christ unlimited. The more you get to know him, the more you discover, brothers and sisters. If you say, every time I come to NYTS, I didn't know new things. Every time I come to prayer, I didn't know new things. It's not God that's the problem. It's you. It's me. Because we didn't go deeper ourselves. Because if you go deeper, you always find something different. When your prayer goes to another level, you always go spiritually one more step further to God. Even the Bible, every time we read it, for example, the time I'll share with you Colossians, if 10 years later, I'm going to share with another batch of students, I want to study harder, I'll find something else. Because Christ is unlimited. Bible is unlimited. Holy Spirit is unlimited. So that's why in Christ, this mystery is revealed. We keep coming to a saying that Christ and Christianity is supreme. Its supremacy is higher. But nowadays in the U.S. or in the Western culture, when people talk about religion, people don't like to use the term that you are better, you are supreme. In today's religious context or even social political setting, it promotes dialogues, it promotes conversation across religion. So that's why you see sometimes Dalai Lama sitting with Judaism leader, Greek Orthodox, they sit down and they talk to promote world peace, to promote that, oh, we all the religion can work together, we mutually respect each other, and don't say who is better than each other, right? We just talk. We just the same. Of course, this is what politically and social setting try to promote, because nowadays religion is causing too much trouble. People are fighting because of religion. So we understand that. But if you go one step further, if you go to the spiritual realm, is all religion equal? Is all religion the same? And of course not. Because if you go deeper, if you look at the Bible, spiritually speaking, our religion, Christianity, Lord Jesus Christ, is much more superior, much more supreme than all other religion. Because other religion are made by human thinking, human brain's product, human tradition. Or if you use other sense, it's the work of the devil. You know, devil is very cunning. Devil know that there's no way human beings don't want religion. Only very few people are die-hard atheists. Very few. But most people need to believe in something. Right? Even you go to the bush in Africa, there are churches. You go to the desert, there are mosques. You go to the jungle, you go to a forest or village in China, there are idols. Even they worship a stone, they have to worship something. Why? Because devil is very cunning. He knows that when God created human being, God programmed him. We can use the word program, right? Inside the brain, inside the mind, inside the soul, they need some higher power. The God, the religion, to fulfill their hearts, to have the difficulties. So devil knows there's no way that I tell them don't worship any God. But I can use human thinking, manipulate them to make out many, many other religions. The more other religions are there in the world, the more difficult for you to choose the right religion. For example, if you want to buy a shampoo, there's only one shampoo in the supermarket. You don't have choice, you have to buy it. You have to use it. But if there are 100 of them, then it's difficult, right? Too much competition for you to sell the shampoo. Religion is the same, so devil know. So not all religions are equal. We have to keep reminding ourselves. Christianity, Christ Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, is supreme. Now let's turn back to look at that verse. If we really understand chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's read verse 2 again. Next? Who is next? Verse 2 again, huh? Oliver? Yeah, Colossians 2, 2. Loud and clear, please. Okay, underline this verse, brother and sister. Especially the keyword understanding. How can we become rooted? How can we not swayed by false teaching or other religion? Here tell us, we have to attain riches of full assurance of understanding to the knowledge and the mystery of God. So the keyword is understanding. If you truly understand the truth, truly understand Christ, and then you truly understand God. But this understanding, who can give it to you? This spiritual understanding is not a worldly understanding. Now let's talk about how can we be firm. You know, for a person to come and to believe in something, there's always three different kinds of faith or three different kind of process. The first one is called blind faith. That means you believe in something, but you don't know what you are believing. And you don't know why you are believing it. For example, like people worshipping idols. There are a lot of idols in different cultures. You ask, why you worship this idol? What is the reason? What is the name of your idol? Why he is so great, so powerful? There was one time, there was a brother working in an airline, helping people to check in. And then there's one passenger checking in, holding up something covered with a red cloth. And the brother, who is the airline employee, asking the passenger, hey sir, what is in your hand? What are you holding? Hand carry luggage. Oh, he said, oh, it's my God. Oh, I sure it's your God. And then why your God need a cloth, red cloth to cover the whole body? Oh, you know what? Aeroplane is very dangerous. Sometimes you've got turbulences. I don't want my God to be frightened during the flight. Like holding a baby, right? Then, if this is your God, why would you get frightened? But of course, as an employee, you cannot ask too much to offend a passenger. People believe in idols. People hold the idols even when they go to immigration, fly to another country, and they are afraid their God will get frightened during the flight. Then why you worship him? Right? Why are idols called the name? Where it's come from? Who made it? But people don't know. People just believe it. Every morning when I woke up and I have breakfast, I open my Chinese radio station, listen to news and weather. But before the news, always there's a guy called Master So and So. He'll read a passage. Not a passage, it's reading from the special superstitious calendar, saying that today is a certain day, it's good to do something, it's not good for something. It's good for taking a bath, it's not, I don't know, it's not good for doing something else, it's good for opening business, but it's not good for marrying. And sometimes, so funny, he said, this hour from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock is a good hour, but sorry, it's already passed. Then I said, why you say this, if it's already passed? So superstitious, that people don't understand what they believe in. They think, oh yeah, you can't do this. Why? Don't know. People just say, well, you can't do this. This is called blind faith. If you don't know what you believe, and you don't know why, of course, people can sway you easily. But the second process, or second type of faith, is called rational faith. This means you use your rational thinking, trying to understand God. Does it work? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. Next. Yes. If you understand this verse, the wisdom of the world according to own wisdom. This is the worldly rationale. When you try to use your own logical thinking, purely dependent on your logical thinking, try to understand God, who is in another spiritual realm, who is unseen, then you will fail. You will think, this is so, doesn't make sense. Look foolish, right? The cross, Jesus died, resurrection. It's so unscientific. It's so unlogical. Why? Because you only use your rational thinking. That's why many people in this world are very smart. Have master, has PhD, highly educated. But the higher the education sometimes, the more complicated, the more sophisticated the brain or the mind, the more difficult for the person to believe in God. The answer is very simple. Because he tried to use his own rationale, try to understand God. No way they can understand. Because God cannot be understood by human thinking. Because God is unlimited. Our logic, our thinking, our experience is so limited. So this rationale may not work. Unless there's another rationale. This is called a spiritual one. Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6. Continue, please. Verse 7. This wisdom is not worldly wisdom. It's not worldly logic or rationale. It's spiritual wisdom. So Paul said, when I speak with spiritual wisdom. And when the Holy Spirit works in a person's mind, even though something at the beginning he didn't understand, but the Holy Spirit guided him, gave him the understanding. And there's a click that suddenly he understands. This understanding is not from the world. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from God's guidance. Yesterday I was talking to a brother. I asked him, how do you come to believe? You have been truth-seeking for a few years. What is the point that you overcome, you decided you're going to get baptized. And he shared with me, I've been hearing the truth, even though to the point I don't know when to get baptized or what. But then suddenly there's one point, the mind just click. They say, oh yeah, I just understand. And I decided to get baptized. This understanding is not from logical thinking or searching, but rather it's God opening the mind. So that's why it's very important. Understanding is from God. And sometimes there are truth seekers. There are truth seekers in my local church in the past. Keep asking me questions. Keep asking me questions. I've been explaining the same question 10 times. But still keep asking. many different pastors come here asking the same question. I tell him, brother, I mean friend, why don't you pray for the Holy Spirit, right? When you pray and receive the Holy Spirit, you have no question. Is it true? Okay, then pray for the Holy Spirit. Really, afterwards, he received the Holy Spirit. I ask him, any more question? He said, no, I have no question. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in him. The understanding is from God, is already given. So this is the second step. But at the end, the third is called pure faith. We have searched the word. Understanding is from God. We understand what we are, how we believe. And we are so close with this God. And we have so much experience with him. And at the end, even though there are something in the Bible you don't understand, it doesn't matter. Even though in this world there are many things happening you don't understand, it doesn't matter. Because I already built up this pure faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I no need to understand every single thing. The only thing for me is important is, I just know my Jesus. And that is what is important. So we hope that if we understand these few words, we can pursue our faith. Now maybe we are in step two. Of course, I hope that we are not in step one. I hope that nobody blindly believes because your parents believe. You just come here. Right? How many of you, your parents are from TJC? Raise your hand. Wow, the majority, right? You're so blessed. Majority of you. But now you should establish your own faith. Maybe through logical thinking, but now go through the Holy Spirit. Rationale, understanding of the Holy Spirit. And then we should come into a pure faith. Nobody can move you. Even people talk out of religion, out of philosophy. It just is nonsense. I know my Jesus. I love my Jesus. Let nobody move me. This is very important. Now let's read verse 3. Continue. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Next. Colossians 2, 3. Okay, here is very important. He is that of Christ, who is hidden in treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Think about this word. If people have something very precious, usually they will hide it. They will hide it. Why to hide it? So that people won't steal it, right? Especially in the past. Even now, there's some treasure hunter. They heard about this certain place, there's a ship, a vessel sink down. But a lot of gold, they will send diver, try to rescue, try to go inside, because there's treasure hidden. So here Paul said, if you look at Christ, if you look at his service, it's nothing. Just like Bible tells us, Christ, look at him. Even though he's 30 years old, he looks like a 50 years old man. No beauty you can admire of him. No famous education background. But in Christ, if you can look through the skin, look through the physical appearance, you discover a lot of things in him. So brother and sister, it's the same. Why you come to NYTS? There are many youth could have come, but why they didn't come? Because they think coming here is too much trouble. The schedule is too tight. The prayer is too long. They only see the service. They didn't see the treasure inside. If they see the treasure, they would have come here already. So in Christ, it's the same. In Christ, there are a lot of wisdom. So what is wisdom? Yesterday during the prayer session, I mentioned briefly about it. First, the power to observe. Everybody have a pair of eyes, but how much do you see? Some people see more than others. Some people see deeper. The second is power of insight. You can see through the service. Look at the deep aspect. You hear people talk, but if you have wisdom, you know their mind. Sometimes it's not exactly what their word is saying. You look at the face, you know the emotion. You look at the problem, immediately you see solution from the Bible. This is called insight. And then the power to make right decision. There are many, many big decisions following us in our life. So are we going to make the right decision? So if we have wisdom, we will observe right, see right, and also make decision right. Now, this verse tells us, if a person knows Jesus Christ, he will be very smart. Yeah, smart, right? People like to be called, oh, you're a smart boy. Nobody want to call, oh, you're so dumb. You're so slow.
You're so foolish.
Nobody like this. People like to be praised. Oh, you're smart. But what is really truly smart? It's not you score 100% or you got straight 4.0 GPA or what kind of school you go to. Truly smart is you have the wisdom of Jesus. You have the wisdom from God. Because wisdom is from God. When you have the wisdom from God, you transcend all the other people thinking. And you go to the deepest. For example, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I like this verse so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 14 to 15. Next. First Corinthians chapter 2, 14. Oh, these two verses are so beautiful. Here, especially verse 15. Spiritual man see through all things, brother and sister. Just like x-ray eyes, but not physical x-ray eyes, right? See through all things. What does it mean, see through all things? All things in the world, whether it has meaning or not, see through it. Whether it's dangerous or not, see through it. Whether it's important or not, see through it. This is very important. This is spiritual judgment. For example, keeping Sabbath day. Now, verse 14 tells us, those who belong to the flesh doesn't understand the things of God, of the Holy Spirit. They think it's foolish. Just like people in the world thinking that you go to Sabbath. Why every single week you spend Friday night, Saturday whole day? We have a sister. The husband is not a believer. He always complained to me. What happened to your church? Other church, only one session on Sunday. You fulfill your duty. Why your church? Friday night, Saturday whole day, sometimes even Sunday. Why so many services? Why have to keep Sabbath? And our friend maybe look at us and say, why you guys? Saturday is supposed to be shopping day, partying day, or studying day. Why you go to Sabbath every single day, every single week? They can't understand. Because it's from the worldly perspective. But if we have spiritual wisdom, we know, wow, Sabbath day is a blessing. Come on. It's not my duty only. I come here to receive free gift from God. If there's a place, if there's a supermarket, if there's a department store, every Saturday is free. You can get whatever you want there. Won't you go there every week? I bet everyone will go there, right? Because it's free gift. You're coming to Sabbath. You rest from your work. Do one day of work, less of work, and then you receive extra blessing. Physically and spiritually. Why don't you go? Of course you have to go. Look at NYTS. Why other youth doesn't come? Because they think it's worthless. No use. But for you, if you have spiritual wisdom, you think, I come here, I'll be blessed. So many brothers and sisters come to NYTS, their faith will revive. Even though they quit the job to come here, afterwards when they go home, they find a better job. So many experience, but you need spiritual insights to see through what is beneath. So that's why if someone really have wisdom, he'll be so blessed. So how can we have wisdom? We have to know Jesus. Here, what we underline here, who is the wisest person? The wisest person is, he see what Jesus see. He likes what Jesus likes. And he does what Jesus does. He lives under the standard of Lord Jesus Christ. When you go to the world, after a few years, you all graduate. You'll be exposed to so many things in the world. But we need wisdom to discern. This is very important. So, let's read verse 9. Let's come back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Continue. Next one. 2:9. 就中文可以，没关系，中英都可以。Okay, this verse is very important. Underline this verse. For in Him, who is Him? He's talking about Christ. So dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. If you use NKJV, this is the translation. What does it mean exactly? This means in this fleshly body, when Christ, He was on earth, just like a vessel, just like a body in flesh. But in Him, you know, God is so powerful. He can concentrate, He can fill this physical body with all divinity. All Godhead means divine or divinity. You know, usually physical things cannot hold spiritual things, right? But in Jesus, God omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty, all-knowing, all-power, all-loving, all-holiness, is focused in this bodily form, in flesh, the historical Lord Jesus Christ when He was on earth. So our Lord Jesus Christ is so wonderful. And today He is still alive, and there's the more wonderful things. He's up there praying for us. He's still working on a salvation for you and me. So that's why, if we understand this, we keep emphasizing, then you know Christianity surpasses all religion. Because Jesus is God. He's not only a founder of a religion, He is God. He resurrected. He overcome death. And He can save you and me, huh? So I think we have talked about that already. Skip that. Okay, fullness of Jesus Christ. Let's still talk about a little bit of this. Chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. Next. Continue. Okay, first, verse 10 tells us Christ have the fullness of Godhead, and He's God Himself, and He's supposed to be the head of us all. Yesterday night, we briefly mentioned about this. And chapter 2, verse 10, you can link chapter 2, verse 10 to chapter 1, verse 18, right? Paul expounds chapter 1, 18 in chapter 2, verse 10. He's talking about the same thing. Christ is the head. This means everything is under His control. No any other power, good or bad, this life or afterlife, physical or spiritual, can exceed the dominion of God. Even though on the surface, you look at the worldly power, or the politician, or the bad country, evil person, they are just like, they seem to be doing bad things and doing whatever they want. But sorry, you take it wrong. They are still under God's hand. If one day God said, you're finished, you're under judgment now. If God said, this great Babylon have to be finished tonight, and it was replaced. This regime is too wicked. Yeah, even though they were prosperous for a few hundred years or a few decades, but if God said, no, finish, that night they finished. Usually you see a decline of a nation. If a nation turned their back against God, the decline is imminent. Look at our country. Does our country turn against God? Morally, spiritually? If this is a yes, then you look at what's happening to the country. And you know why. You look at the back, in the past, all the so-called Asian civilization, especially Babylonian, uprising so fast, but one night, finish. So, everything is under control of God. In right time, God exercises judgment. So, nothing can happen without God's permission. Even though something bad seems to happen. But if God allowed this to happen, God is still under control. If you're on God's side, you don't have to worry. So, let's go through quickly in this chapter about... I think we don't have time now. We are on time. So, we continue in the afternoon. Let's pray together. Ask the Lord to guide us.